Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and I'm joined by fellow host, Alex Brown. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Thanks again for having me, Graham.
So we're going to do another edition of Wiretaps, which is just taking our website by storm in the sense that people seem to really enjoy these podcast episodes, and we're getting a lot of great entries from people who are sharing their candidacy, sharing their hopes and dreams with us, and we get to kind of dissect that stuff on the podcast. Always a lot of fun. So we're going to do four candidates today, and you know, there's a really, as always, Alex, you've selected a great batch of folks with a variety of backgrounds. And I think I mentioned this in our last episode, but I just want to remind folks that, you know, you can learn a lot from listening to these stories of real candidacies and where they need to improve or, you know, how their goals line up with their school selection. And so that's our goal here is obviously we are helping the people who submit their candidacies by giving them feedback. But our goal is for, you know, you, the listener, to also glean some insights about admission strategy by hearing what we advise others to do. So, Alex, without further ado, I wanted to get into our first candidate. So Wiretaps candidate number one. So this fellow is located in Germany. He is a U.S. Army Green Beret officer and, you know, GRE 330, GPA 3.21 from West Point, 9 years of work experience or service, I guess you could say. This person wants to end up in the Northeast or the Midwest after business school, hoping to start in the fall of 2020, like everyone else we've been reviewing. And target schools, Harvard, Michigan, MIT, and Chicago Booth. This candidate was also kind enough to give us a fairly lengthy kind of background in terms of his, you know, experience and goals. And so, Alex, I'll let you kind of talk us through that because it's rather long, but it was very helpful in terms of our being able to make an assessment here. But yeah, what do you think of this guy? I mean, obviously, Green Beret, we don't see that every day. So what are your thoughts here?
This guy seems super, super strong in terms of the background, obviously becoming a Green mm-hmm. Beret, the experiences this guy has had will be so interesting, I think, for classmates in the classroom and in, you know, within the MBA community. So I think, you know, without sort of regurgitating the detail of his experience, absolutely, it's super, super strong. We know that MBA programs generally like military candidates for the leadership experiences those candidates have experienced, and this person's experience is at top of the line in that regard. So overall, when I was reading through the notes section, I was just more and more inspired. I want to meet this guy. I want to hang out with this guy, and I just think his experiences would be absolutely fascinating. I think, you know, one of the things that stands out a little bit is he has, I presume it's male, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but has 9 years of experience. So just to make sure that the guy fits well in the MBA community, will engage thoroughly mm-hmm. in the MBA community. But I think with the types of experience that they've had in the military, that shouldn't be an issue at all. I do like the short-term goal in management consulting. I think that makes absolutely perfect sense, mostly for any military candidate as they transition out of military then into the civilian world post MBA. And the long-term goal, which the candidate was a little not nervous about, but felt that they didn't have that well thought through, I thought was absolutely fantastic based on their life experiences, their experiences in the Nordic countries, and just growing up. So as a COO, CEO in the clean tech space, absolutely fantastic. And I think, Graham, maybe the guy listened to one of our previous wiretaps because you suggested COO as a natural role for a military candidate.
I wonder. So yeah, this actually reminds me that I was thinking, you know, the other day, given how people seem to enjoy these episodes, that we should, you know, move to a do a special episode where we have some of these folks meet us or dial in and talk, you know, in real time about some of their candidacies. But yeah, this guy maybe listened before. I think, you know, operations is often a natural, you know, landing place for military folk. So good to see that. I found the long-term career goals in kind of clean tech to be very appropriate. I mean, this person, you know, he mentioned that he has family members that were directly affected by the Flint water crisis. So clearly some, you know, some real like passion behind these goals. And they're not that far, you know, not that far flung. He's got some exposure to the sector. And yeah, so I think the goals make sense, consulting and then into kind of clean tech. I also, you know, just to his experience, you know, jumping out of airplanes, spending some time, I think he was in Afghanistan for a while, you know, obviously been working in Germany as well. So, you know, it just, there's a lot to offer here. And I think you're right. I mean, 9 years is a long time to be out of undergrad. And, you know, most of these top MBA programs, you know, people have more like 5 years, but I think they're willing to make exceptions with military personnel, particularly someone who's gone through like the Green Beret process, not a quick thing. So I think he's okay. I do think he's going to need to show, you know, a capacity to get back into kind of student mode, and just into civilian life, basically. So, and that, you know, that can all be done in the interview, the recs, maybe the way he writes his essays and such. But I'm actually, one thing that I think some of our listeners may have flagged is, oh, 3.2 GPA, how's someone going to go to Harvard with a 3.2? And I would just posit that West Point there's no grade inflation at West Point. So, and the schools know that. So I'm not so worried about the GPA, especially in light of the strong GRE score. So I think everything lines up. The only thing I did wonder is, you know, he's got four schools on his list, Michigan, MIT, Booth, and Harvard. I wouldn't be, you know, if he were asking me like, is that enough? I would say, gosh, you know, maybe you split them across rounds, but I would like to see like a Kellogg or a Wharton maybe in the mix. Wharton in particular is pretty strong in operations and, you know, also a great, great program. I just want to make sure that he doesn't, that he aims as high as he can, right? And he ends up with a couple of offers and maybe even, you know, who knows, some scholarship money. So I would cast a slightly wider net. That was my only thought. But otherwise, this guy's interesting and should make, you know, for solid contributions in the MBA classroom.
What about Stanford, Graham?
Yeah, I guess I was noting that he kind of wanted to stay Northeast Midwest in the long term. And so I just, obviously Stanford's a great school and I'm sure he would have a lot to contribute there. I just was a little biased. Although, you know, one thing that you're making me think about now is if he's interested in clean tech, you know, there's quite a bit happening out in the West Coast with respect to that. So that's something to keep in mind too. I mean, you could argue that, you know, places like UT Austin are pretty strong in this, you know, the energy domain as well. But I recognize he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to be in that region. So that's why I didn't kind of go there. But I think you're right. I mean, this guy should aim high. That's for sure. And when aiming high, Stanford usually comes into the conversation, right? So he could at least consider it. Yeah. So without further ado, let's move on and let's have kind of get into the profile for Wiretap's candidate number two. So this person has a 730 on the GMAT, a 3.79 GPA, 5 years of work experience. They're located on the West Coast and hoping to stay there post-MBA. They've done 3 years of management consulting with what they refer to as a second-tier firm. And it looks like they have 2 years somewhere else as well, but it truncated on the site. They want to start business school in 2020, so that, you know, a year from now roughly. And they're hoping to get into sort of tech or VC or entrepreneurship. And the companies that they listed as being possible targets are Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Uber. And the other kind of wrinkle to this person who, you know, I had assumed was, you know, a male or female kind of on the West Coast, maybe an American, but they mentioned that they founded a nonprofit that operates in Ghana and that they did this while they were in college and they've maintained involvement over the years. They also co-founded a private investment fund focusing on emerging technologies and they raised $3 million in seed capital, but they fell short of the goal of what they wanted to raise and they kind of abandoned it as a full-time pursuit for the time being. And then final couple of tidbits, Division I student athlete with two national championship titles and a leadership role on the team that they played on. So that's kind of intriguing too. So what do you make of this person?
Yeah, you kind of think I just cherry pick the folks off of ApplyWire, but the reality is these are some of the quality people that are posting entries. And this person obviously is different to our previous candidate, but clearly there's some outstanding attributes here also.
I neglected to say that they're targeting Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Booth, and Wharton, which, you know, kind of M7, you know, save a couple, but yeah, roughly M7.
Yeah, they don't want to go to Columbia.
Or Kellogg, right?
Or Kellogg. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. But no, another super strong candidate. Obviously, from a numbers standpoint, everything fits with the top program, 730, 379 GPA, although we don't know the undergraduate institution. But a 379 GPA and being a Division I student athlete with two national championship titles, that seems to me to be someone that's really managed their academic career super well, whilst also being super busy with athletic pursuits. So so full props for that. And then during that time, founding a not-for-profit organization that's still functioning in Ghana. So clearly this person is very involved, very active, and that's the sort of candidate schools tend to love. This whole idea that the not-for-profit is based in Ghana makes one wonder what the connection is with Ghana and with Africa generally, whether it's a heritage connection or whatever it might be. But that certainly will be interesting to learn more about. And obviously in an application, a candidate has much more opportunity to provide that kind of insight. So I think that's super, super interesting. And then, you know, got an opportunity for a great failure essay, I suppose, which schools tend to ask, raising 3 million seed fund capital, but ultimately falling short of a goal for the private investment fund. But again, seemingly like a really, really interesting candidate. We know a little less about their success in their career, 3 years management consulting and then 2 years elsewhere. But assuming that the career itself is full of impact, as other aspects of this candidacy seem to be full of impact, I think that's really good and sets someone up to be a true M7 type candidate. Would also like to see maybe a little bit more focus on the goals. The post goals in the long run seem to be a mix of technology, venture capital, and entrepreneurship. And I understand how they all dovetail well together, but would like to get a bit more insight in terms of what is the long-term goal, what is the passion that's driving that long-term goal, which I think the candidate probably has based on his or her experiences to date, and just make sure all that's tied together. But if all that is tied together and the candidate shows that their pre-MBA career experience is strong and that's supported by RECs, I think, like I say, an M7 candidate, as you say, they listed Harvard, Stanford, Sloan, Booth, and Wharton. They've not gone for a safety school. Maybe they need to, I don't know, but I do think this is a very, very strong potential candidate with good execution on their applications.
Yeah, I think just to play a little devil's advocate, I think that, you know, they have the numbers to kind of be competitive, right? I mean, that's a high GPA. GMAT is a bit more kind of around the average at these very top schools. So they have the numbers to kind of get in the game here. The thing that was missing for me, and which I actually asked them for on the site, because in the comments I mentioned that it'd be great to know, what have they done for those 2 years since the management consulting role? So, you know, because if those 2 years have been, maybe they've been a venture capitalist for the last 2 years, or maybe they've been working at an Amazon or an Apple or one of these companies that they're targeting, that would help kind of weave it all together for me. So I definitely would want to know that. You know, otherwise, like, yeah, I think it's going to come down to execution. I do always caution people when they, you know, they're just solely looking at sort of M7 schools and don't have any, you know, kind of breadth to the types of schools they're targeting in terms of admissions difficulty. So, you know, I guess I would ask the candidate, how important is it for you to be in business school in the fall of 2020? And if they were to say, it's imperative, like I have to go, you know, I'm not going to stay at my job. I really want to start business school. Then I might say, well, you know, is there another program here that could suit your goals that maybe isn't quite as challenging to get into? And so, you know, and there are a lot of great schools out there in the kind of next batch of seven or eight schools, whether it's, you know, Berkeley or Tucker. I mean, there's so many great programs out there. So I would definitely encourage the person to kind of think about that. But again, without knowing like what is their connection to Ghana and Africa, and what is the current role that they're in employment wise, and how's that kind of dovetailing with the goals they're expressing? Because if they're just saying, oh, I've done management consulting, I'd love to kind of get into VC, and they don't have a ton of experience in that domain, it's a little bit harder. I know they did co-found their own private investment fund, but it didn't, you know, it sounds like it didn't work exactly. So, you know, I would just want to see, I'd love to know more about what they're doing now and how that fits into this puzzle.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I do think Haas is the obvious choice to add, especially with the goal to be on the West Coast, with the type of goals that this candidate has. So that, I think that's a very, very good point. But overall, I think, again, the ingredients are there, assuming that additional 2 years of experience is similarly strong. I think this candidate, you know, what they did in college to me just puts them on a different level. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, amazing. And I kind of was curious what the sport was, but two national championships and, you know, Division I leader on the team. I mean, these are all, yeah. So they have a lot of great ingredients. Yeah.
Whilst also founding a not-for-profit that is still functioning. So that's you know, I did something, a little bit of cash, and we folded it up. This is something that's now been going for at least 5 or 6 years. So
With each profile we review on Wiretaps, I'm increasingly convinced that I would never get into business school if I were applying today. Let's move on. So Wiretaps candidate number three. So this person is located in the U.S., 730 GMAT and a 3.3 GPA. 3 years of work experience in cybersecurity consulting. They want to start school next fall, 2020, and they're applying to CMU, Indiana Kelly, Kellogg, Booth, UNC, UT Austin, and UVA. And their goal after the MBA is to work in consulting, and perhaps with Accenture or Booz Allen Hamilton. They, you know, indicated that their undergrad was in computer science engineering, and, you know, they've had kind of a technical role to date within a consulting firm, but they want to kind of transition, you know, use the MBA to transition from a technical consulting role to a strategy consulting role, but still, you know, working in tech, in that industry. And, you know, I guess in the longer term, they mentioned that they want to become a CISO, which we were joking about, you know, kind of the use of jargon when you come from a technical background and using acronyms and things that not everyone will know. But Alex, you correctly figured out that this stood for, what was it again? Chief Information Security Officer, was that right?
Yeah, and I didn't even use Google to figure it out. Oh, wow. So I felt quite proud of myself.
They've also had some outside activities, so they've led a couple of teams in extracurriculars. They work with Habitat for Humanity, which is a popular, you know, pre-MBA EC to pursue. And they don't think they can apply in round one because they're having some kind of health stuff going on. So what's your take on this candidacy? I know you had some dialogue with them on the site.
Yeah. So we've had a little bit of back and forth with this candidate, which is terrific. As compared to the previous two candidates that we've highlighted in this Wiretaps, this candidate is targeting slightly lower in terms of the schools they're aiming towards, I guess. There's a little bit of overlap for sure with Kellogg and Booth in the mix. But they're obviously sort of aiming a little bit lower. They're, from a number standpoint, you know, they're decent, right? That 730 GMAT is very good. Their GPA 3.3 is a little bit lower than average for the very top schools, but probably fits with some of the schools on the list here. Their work experience, 3 years, again, is a little on the lower end. Quite a technical role, which we often see in business school admissions, which is fine. The question then is sort of how much sort of leadership, teamwork, and various other things that they've been involved in. And this person actually has both at work and outside of work developed in that regard, which is very good. Certainly the Habitat for Humanity leading teams of three or four volunteers. So they're not just a volunteer going constructing houses, which is great. Volunteer work is fantastic. But they're, as a volunteer, they're leading a team of volunteers, which ratchets it up your extracurricular involvement, right? So I think that's a very good thing. The candidate's concerned a little bit that they can't apply in round one. They're going to have to apply in round two based on personal reasons. I just want to make it quite clear that unless they're from an overrepresented profile group, then that should be fine. Just make that quite clear for all candidates. I mean, round one is important if you're from an overrepresented profile. So Indian origin, IT focus, or engineering focus, or something like that would be one example. There are many more examples. So I would bear that in mind. I think the long-term goal, to be a chief information security officer, I think, you know, that's a viable goal in the long run. More and more so in this developing age of sort of information technology and so on and so forth. Obviously, security and stuff is becoming more and more important. It's getting a lot more press. So admissions committees will be more cognizant of the value of that type of role. So that's, I think, is also a positive for the candidate. So overall, I thought this candidate is decent and is targeting probably at the right level of schools. They've got a couple of REACH schools, so you've got Kellogg and Booth in there. And then, you know, schools like Tepper, I think, fits right where this candidate wants to be. So I like that. So overall, I think this candidate sort of sets up quite nicely.
Yeah, I guess one thing that did occur to me as we were kind of reviewing this one is I understand, you know, it sounds like there's some, you know, minor medical stuff that's going to happen that's making round one challenging for this person. It did make me wonder, though, if perhaps like they could get one app in the first round. You know, we're still about 8 weeks away from a lot of those round one deadlines. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, maybe take a flyer on one of your REACH schools, get that, you know, Kellogg or Booth app together and in. It'll give you a good kind of run through of like what the process is like as you prepare to do many more schools in round two. And you never know, you might actually get a response from the school in question that's a favorable response, and you'll have it by Christmas, and you know, could save yourself a lot of time and money on subsequent applications. So that was just something that did cross my mind. But I do understand, you know, obviously we don't know the nature of the medical procedure they need to have. So there's a lot of things in you know, factors to consider. But my thought was, wow, if you get just one in, that might be interesting. I did like the fact, you know, we see so many people on the site who have kind of, oh, I'm going to apply to Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton, you know, or just like the very best. And so it was nice to see someone with a good mix of like sort of, you know, top schools, middle ground, and even a little bit more on the safety side, you could say, given their profile. So nice to see that they're thinking this through. And I do agree, cybersecurity is increasingly something that's discussed. I feel like there's not a day that goes by where there's not some article about China or Russia and the US and all the, you know, kind of everyone vying to know what everyone else is talking about behind their back. So yeah, there's definitely, this is a big matter. Also all the lawsuits and things going on with Facebook and such. So yeah, I like this candidate. I think they have a reasonable target set of schools and just will need to execute. And hopefully, the recommendations and materials will not have too much kind of tech jargon in them, so that, because the worst thing that could happen to this candidate is they get labeled as being a little young, you know, not enough experience, and that all that experience is so technical that they don't have any kind of exposure to business concepts or management. And so, you know, if they could talk to the recommenders and make sure that the recommenders know, you know, that they're going to be writing a letter for people who know nothing about cybersecurity, that would be smart, you know, so dumb it down a bit, but not, you know, assume the readers are intelligent, but they just don't have industry expertise in this domain. So that was it on that one for me.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I really like the idea or the notion that the person's working for Habitat for Humanity and leading a team of volunteers constructing houses, because that sort of, I'm not saying that's the antithesis of a tech person, but it does show a different side of their personality to have undertaken that type of task. So hopefully they're doing that because they're passionate about helping and managing and doing the right things, and they're not just doing it to pay lip service to an admissions process, which admissions committees are pretty good at sniffing out. But certainly I did like that aspect of the candidacy.
Yeah, agreed. So let's move on to the next. So Wiretaps candidate number 4. This person is located in Bangladesh and has a 328 on the GRE. They have a 3.13 GPA, 4.5 years of work experience. They've been working in telecommunications product marketing. They want to start school next fall. They would love to move into kind of a nonprofit social impact role after the MBA, and they would love to work in either Asia or Middle East, North Africa. Those are the two regions they've indicated. And the schools that they're targeting are Cambridge, Imperial, Oxford, and Cornell. They left a great, very lengthy note that sort of explained a lot of, you know, kind of their background. So maybe you want to walk us through, because I know, again, you kind of started some dialogue with this person. Any thoughts on, what do you think of this candidate?
Well, again, I like the candidate, from Bangladesh. Definitely has a social impact plan for her long-term goal. And it does seem like, based on experiences to date, that she can realise those goals, or this person can realise those goals. So that's a very positive thing. Business schools want candidates in their programme that are going to make a difference in the world in the long run, right? So if you look at the mission statements of each of the business schools that form the top tier programs around the world, it's all about impact in the long run as an alum. And this person's goals set up for wanting to do that and has a very, as you said, a very long notes section to explain all the experiences that they've had to date in order to help them set themselves up for being able to do that. So the experience looks strong, they've evolved well, and they have won awards and acknowledgements of their success to date. So those sorts of things enable admissions committees to recognise the relevance of those successes, I guess, with the accomplishments and the awards. They did mention an award and accomplishment based on their ONA levels. I would not, that doesn't dial into your application at all, because that's pre-undergraduate. So I wouldn't focus so much from that length of period or time ago, right? So very good. They have to retake the GRE because their GRE is going to be quite old. So that's a little bit of a shame. But a 328 GRE, hopefully they can realise a similar score. That would obviously be very helpful. Having said all that, I think it would be good for the candidates to learn a little bit more about the MBA programme options that are available. Do they want a one-year program or a two-year program? And they list Cambridge, Oxford, Cornell, which could be 1 or 2 years. Imperial, I'm not sure, Graham, you might know better, is Imperial a one-year or a two-year program? But certainly Cambridge and Oxford are one-year programs.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain theirs is a one-year as well. So it's kind of Cornell stands out, from the group in a number of ways.
yeah. But Cornell, I think you can do in 1 year in one of their special tracks, right?
That's true, yes.
So, and then the other advice is to look a bit more broadly at MBA programs that focus on this sort of social impact and sustainability. So as we addressed in our response, we ClearMid actually has a Best Business School 4 section, and one of them focuses on social impact And that we focus on schools like Yale, Stern, Haas, Harvard, Oxford, actually, which is one of the programs that this person is targeting, Keenan Flagler, Duke, Stanford, Kellogg Wharton, and so forth. The point being, more and more programs now are getting much more serious about social impact. It's definitely a laudable goal, and schools are very interested in helping set candidates up for goals like that. So overall, I thought this candidate can be very strong. I think they've got to do a good job of developing their story in a cogent fashion. Their notes section was very long and sort of listed everything, which is fine for ApplyWire, but certainly for an application, they've got to tighten their story, focus on the real meaningful impacts that they've had as their story has evolved. That's going to be very important. And then the GPA is lower than average for top schools at 3.13. Is there any context around that? Is that actually a good GPA relative to where the student was studying? Just to make sure that if the GPA needs some explanation, to include that in an optional essay.
Yeah, that was the thing that jumped out at me. But then, you know, in their comment, they mentioned that it was, you know, the most renowned and competitive business school in Bangladesh. And so my suspicion is that there's no grade inflation, and that the admissions committees, who are familiar with candidates, you know, from Bangladesh, which they are, will know, you know, a little bit about the quality of that school. So hopefully that will help.
That said, Graham, I still think it would be worthwhile adding a note to the optional essay to sort of explain that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm just saying that, yeah, I think someone with a 3.1 from, you know, a kind of average school will have a real hurdle, you know, when they're applying to a top business school. Whereas if, in fact, this is the best school in Bangladesh and admissions committees are familiar with that, and if she writes or he writes a short explanation of that, that'll go a long way. I think that the GRE score, the 328, is bearing out that, you know, this person probably had a pretty solid education. So I think overall, there's a lot to like here. I was, you know, I was puzzled by school selection and the idea of like, well, do they want 1 year or two, and where do they want to be? It sounds like they want to be back in, you know, in Asia or maybe Middle East, North Africa, right? And so I was a little surprised not to see INSEAD on the list. And my suspicion, or maybe even LBS, my suspicion is that they didn't put those on the list because maybe they're worried about their GPA. Or maybe in the case of LBS, they want a short program. I don't know what it is, but the reason I talk about INSEAD is just because, you know, they have a campus in Abu Dhabi, they have a campus in Singapore, and they have one in Europe. So it just seemed like, wow, that's kind of if they're looking at Oxford and Cambridge, you know, might make sense to also look at INSEAD. But I recognize that, you know, there may be some hurdles with the GPA, but it certainly, you know, wouldn't be the worst idea to give it a try. So with that said, as you correctly point out, you know, Oxford's a potentially great fit in light of their goals. And, you know, the goals are really, as I think you said, like really laudable. I mean, they've got some interesting things they want to do. I guess just figuring out a way to kind of condense that into a coherent set of essays and materials will be important too. But again, another interesting candidate as we round out today's episode. Any other advice for them? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying, just sort of generally, it's important to have laudable goals.
Yes.
Again, based on business schools' mission statements. But it only works if you can back them up. If you can back them up based on your experiences, your professional experiences and personal experiences.
Yes.
I think in this candidate's case, they can. As the first candidate we talked about, the military candidate, they can back these goals up with their own personal and professional experiences. That's what the admissions committees are really looking for, ambitious goals that are realistic based on your sets of experiences to date. So I think that's very good. And I also do like the fact that the person wants to come back to Bangladesh or to Middle East, North Africa and make an impact after their MBA, rather than, we see a lot of international candidates that they're using the MBA to relocate geographies, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine from a, you know, you want to go live in another part of the world, a great way to do that is to study there and then continue your career there. But the candidate that wants to make an impact in their own backyard, fantastic. And they can make a case that they can do that. Yeah. I think that plays very well in admissions.
But I think you hit upon maybe our lesson of the episode about career goals and, you know, this idea that it's great to have laudable career goals, but they've got to be plausible as well. And I think, you know, I remember many moons ago, I encountered a candidate who was kind of a finance superstar on Wall Street, working in banking and, and had a conversation with this guy. And he wanted to set up his own, I think he wanted to do like a hedge fund or, you know, something, you know, had a certain skill set and really wanted to exploit that. But then he actually showed me one of his essays, and the essay was all about, microfinance in Africa and wanting to do something, you know, in that domain. And I said, oh, that's really interesting and laudable. You know, that's a great, great goal. What's your background there? And he said, well, to be honest, I don't really have any exposure to it, but I figured if I talked about wanting to start my own hedge fund that was like, you know, focused on a specific industry that I'm passionate about, that, you know, that's not going to fly with the admissions officers, and I need to have something more kind of, just more about giving back to the community and helping people who are in need. And I said, look, you can't pull something out of thin air. You know, better to go with what you're passionate about. And, you know, if maybe you have a secondary goal of engaging in that, you know, and getting involved in business school in a club that helps you to kind of explore that as a sort of side project, great. But don't throw out your main, you know, goal and the goal for which you're best suited at this point based on past experiences, just to kind of write something that you think the committee wants to hear. So I think that's probably our episode lesson for this week. You know, make your goals feasible, plausible, and clear, you know, so just, you know, definitely all that matters. So again, Alex, four great candidates. Anything else that you wanted to discuss in terms of other things happening on the wires as we're, you know, doing these Wiretaps episodes? I know as time goes by, we'll get more into talking about live wire entries and maybe eventually decision wire. But for now, we're really in this time of the year where everyone's kind of focused on applying and kind of, you know, putting their candidacy together. So we've been focusing on apply wire. But anything that any rumblings you've heard? I did see some wait lists kind of come across in recent days, which I was surprised to see.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's still the odd person getting off wait lists as schools begin their preterm and that kind of stuff and the odd people not showing up. But right. No, things are pretty quiet in that regard now. I think we are starting to ramp up now more seriously for this upcoming admission cycle, which is absolutely fantastic. What are we, it'll be 5 weeks away, I think, four or 5 weeks away now to first round applications.
Yeah, for some of those schools that are early. And one thing I will say, if people want to have some fun on Livewire, you can sort. You can sort entries, and like, so if you're applying to Harvard or Wharton or wherever you're applying, you could sort all the entries by that school and take a look at like interview invitations and see from last year, round one, who was getting interview invitations and what were their numbers if you're trying to kind of play along at home and see where you might land this year. So there are uses for the tool in the off season, quote, and Livewire will start to heat up very soon as people begin applying. So, but for now, we're going to keep going through your candidacies and we've got more on tap. So please stay tuned and continue to rate and review this podcast wherever you may listen, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We love to hear your reviews, so please keep them coming. And with that, Alex, I'll say goodbye, and we'll see everyone next time. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks a lot, Graham. Very good.
All right. Talk to everybody soon.